Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! Oh, LeBron James with no regard for human life.
12 seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Iverson against Gill. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up? What up? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. We're back with episode 8. My name's Nick Engvall, and I'm here with my guys, Mike Guillory and Robbie Fauci. Guys, introduce yourself.
What's going on?
Howdy,
everybody. Mike here. Hope y'all. What's up, Robbie?
Sorry. So I'm just going to jump right into things because we've had a few a few for the blooper reel, which we'll release later down the road. But it's just good to be back. Good to be back chatting with you guys. So,
Yes, sir. Always good to sit with you guys and talk some sneakers.
As always.
So there's quite a few things that we could talk about today, I think. But I don't know. How you guys want to start out?
I mean, I guess we'd probably go with the biggest thing that's been around the world today and start with that, huh?
Yeah, so Beyonce and Adidas, now official partners. I think it's crazy. I think it's actually potentially bigger than Kanye. I don't know. It's just almost like mind blowing. If you think about like the level of influence that she has, the fan base that she has, and the fact that she got out of her, was it Topshop deal? And was able to keep her brand name and move over to Adidas, and she's going to get a signature shoe, from what I heard. So, props to Wex and the team at Adidas for making that happen, because I feel like that was definitely a power move to slide in and you know, because I think Topshop was the, if I remember correct, they were having all the problems with the sexual harassment stuff and. Basically just there was, that was kind of the opening, right? But I don't know. What do you guys think about this one?
Yeah. Oh man, it's a heck of a move. It's funny, you know, I'm not a personally a Beyonce fan, but definitely have to respect her star power. And I never would have thought that you'd see her sign with a sneaker brand. It never just really clicked in my brain, but I mean, it makes perfect sense. I mean, Adidas signed the biggest star in the world to their brand, and they're going to bring not only Beyonce fans who love sneakers to Adidas, but they're going to bring Beyonce fans who have no idea about sneakers to Adidas brand. This is going to be insane. Like, within the next couple of years, you're going to see, if they do it right, which I'm assuming they're going to, if they take the same, you know, Kanye approach and put a little bit more power behind it, I think you can see another drastic jump in Adidas. I don't know. What do you think, Robbie?
Man, I never thought it would come, because, like, some celebrities or artists are like almost too big for a brand. Like Kanye is huge, but Beyonce is like, she could drop toilet paper and people would buy it.
Like, yeah.
She is like literally that next level. Like, I'd almost put, I mean, she's bigger than Lady Gaga, but like Lady Gaga could, like, isn't like corralable. Like, you can't put her underneath a brand and like feel like she's authentically selling something. So for Beyonce to be putting herself in this position, if you know the way she moves and the way that she chooses who she partners with, like, it's very selective. I'll answer that. It's extremely selective. So for her to want to put her name behind something, it's going to have to be hot. It's going to have to be like inclusive. It's going to have to be, you know, just like next level. I think it's going to be like next level product for women that could probably even transcend like to some men. Like, you know, would you buy Beyonce men's item? Is she that big? Like, I think she is. I think it can, like, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, I think so too. And the example,
and I feel like they've been working on this for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how long it's been in the works and how long it's been like kind of, you know, those things are always tough, especially when there's stuff going on the other side where they're probably waiting for the lawsuit to kind of die down, waiting for the legal stuff to really make it happen. But Robbie, like your example of Lady Gaga is great too, because like that's in my mind, like Lady Gaga, Beyonce, you know, obviously Kim Kardashian is up there with followers and stuff like that. Maybe not in terms of like music, but just the level of reach that they have. I think Katy Perry is probably up there. You know, like there's very few people that are that high, but just to put it into perspective, like if you just went off of Instagram followers, right? I think Beyonce is at like 126 million. Lady Gaga is somewhere in the 30s.
Jeez.
Justin Bieber's like 108. Kim Kardashian is 130 something. So it's just insane amounts of people that are paying attention. And I can't imagine that. I really can't imagine any other brand stepping up and, you know, making it happen with someone on the scale of Beyonce's level, right? Like, if you think of, you know, like, to your
how
point,
do you one up Beyonce?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To your point of like Kanye, right? Kanye's, I think he has that kind of influence in the sneaker game and in the fashion world, but it's not quite the same because he's so polarizing, where there are very few people that, you know, I don't even know anybody that would be like, oh yeah, Beyonce, I don't really mess with her. You know, it's like, it's a completely different level.
But at her level, it's like, we're talking about follower, like a portion of, or a percentage of the world. That's how many people follow Beyonce. It's like, you could literally put like a percentage of the world and it's not like 0.00001, you know, it's like, it's that big of a reach.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Well, the crazy thing about it is something I laughed at, because you literally have a rivalry in the household now. You have Jay-Z, creative director of Puma, Adidas, creative partners now Beyonce.
Right? I feel like Jay-Z moves however Jay-Z wants to move. Like, he has to have a clause 100%. Where it's like, I wear Pumas when I want to.
Yeah. I'm still going to wear these Jordans anytime I please, but I'll still support you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Jay-Z, it's kind of crazy too, because he's one of those people that, to me, and I like the partnership with Puma makes sense because he's got a lot of people from his music world that are already at Puma, right? And so it makes sense for him to kind of just like hop on as a part of the team, in a sense, even though anything he does is not a part of the team. It's like, he's the star. But I also think that he's not the type to do like a line of clothes, a line of shoes or anything, right? He can put his name on something and just be attached to it and wear Pumas on stage, and that's going to help the brand overall. But Kanye or Beyonce or whomever, you know, is going to be able to come in and really make an impact by having their own line, having, you know, offshoots of that line, doing special projects, all of the stuff that, you know, that we're reading about Beyonce teaming up with Adidas, basically. And I just don't see Jay-Z doing that. I think he's almost like, too much of a businessman. Businessman?
Well, he like, yeah, right? I'm out of business.
I was waiting for it.
But it's like, he's at a point, like, it's been there, done that for him. So he had the S-Dots back in the day. But it's like, that was young Jay-Z. That was like trying to come up and kind of put a stamp as like, hey, I'm the best. Like, now there's really not that much questioning. I mean, I guess you could question who the best is, but if you don't recognize Jay-Z as like the best rapper, then from like a larger picture, like mogul standpoint, you're playing yourself. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. As far as like the business side of and what he's been able to accomplish from, you know, rapping and moving himself up in the world and all of that, obviously there's nobody really even on that level. You know, I don't even think, I guess like you might say Diddy could be on that level, but to me, he kind of rode the coattails of a lot of artists and before he started like getting. Don't get me wrong, he's a dope producer. Like back in the day, you know, he was the old Kanye before old Kanye existed, right? Like Diddy chopped up like classics and made them into super dope hip hop beats. But
yeah,
after, you know, the fallout of Biggie passing away, Tupac passing away, all that beef, all the East Coast, West Coast thing dying off, I feel like Diddy was just like cashing in off of all that music checks. But I don't know that, like, you know, I was never interested in making the band, but you know, I could be the only one.
Dylon. You're totally right. Like, Diddy's still big, but Diddy has like his ebbs and flows. Like, Diddy pops up, did something, and then he kind of creeps back into his pile of money. Like,
yeah.
Jay-Z's always out. Like there's all like whatever Jay-Z could go take, you know, go take a trip to Subway and get a sandwich. You're like, oh man, Subway just popped off.
Like, yep.
Like anything. Like Diddy is always going to be Diddy, and he's a legend. But yeah, man, he just kind of comes, you know, he comes out of his pot of money, does something, and then goes back to his pot of money.
But it's going back to just the like just. Speaking of his moves that everyone's making, if you just take a step back and look at Adidas as a whole, they've signed the most influential people, not athletes. This is the athletes aside, but they've signed the most influential people and are still like trying to claw their way up. Like, this, like if you take everyone out of the picture, like Drake is the only person signed to Nike in that celebrity influential role, while Adidas has, I guess, all the Jenner Kardashian kids. They have Kanye, they have Pharrell, they have Pusha T now to long-term deal. They just got Beyonce. Is this, with the landscape of how people decide to buy sneakers, is this the kind of the final, I don't want to say nail in the coffin because Nike's not going anywhere by any means, but was this like the power move that Adidas needed to get that jump start of that you know, that initial Ultra Boost movement they had 5 years ago? Is this going to help them get to the table again?
What do you think, Robbie?
It's like, I want to see Beyonce in like on a t-shirt with like the Virgin Mary pose in the middle with like Pharrell playing a harp and like an angel Kanye on the side. And like, that'd be the hottest shirt. But just like, they have a trinity right there that Drake and Travis Scott don't even, like, they don't hold a candle to. Like, what can't Pharrell do? Like, what isn't Kanye in? And then you have like the goddess. So like, I think that the roster is so strong that like Nike's gonna have to start signing like literally every single person in music that they can to like try to, it's like an Infinity War type thing. It's like Adidas and Thanos, and then like Nike set up together the Avengers to come step up. So I think they're trending in the right direction to kind of retake a lot of the conversation in 2019. Nick, how about you?
I think the biggest opportunity in footwear and in like sportswear, whatever you want to, athleisure, if you want to call it that, is women's, right? I think that there's huge opportunities in like the female streetwear / sneaker world, because no brand has consistently been successful in it. You know, you look at the last couple of years, and I mean, Fila did pretty good with the Disruptor last year. You know, there's been some Puma stuff. There's been some Adidas shoes that made a mark, But like we're kind of spoiled as guys, right? Like throw some cool graphics on a t-shirt, you know, and or something dope on a hoodie and we're good. And every brand is pretty good at that, you know. On the women's side, like I think that women are getting more and more into the look and feel and overall vibe of like streetwear and sneakers. But I don't see any brands catering to them in the right way, right? There's still this like, you know, shrink it and pink it approach to making sneakers. And sometimes that works. Don't get me wrong. That's definitely an appealing thing to a lot of women. But I don't think that any of the brands have figured out how to turn the men's business into a success, into like turn the women's business into the success that the men's business has been for decades for a lot of these, you know, brands. I think this is like a huge step in the right direction. If they can make it work, it really could be just like Robbie said, like that they're Thanos, you know, like they have all of the right people. And I also would argue that Adidas does a really good job at giving creative freedom to the people they work with. You know, I think that it's taken Nike a long time to kind of let go of that control because rightfully so, they've had the success. They knew they had the formula down, right? Like here's how you market it. Here's how, you know, you leak the stuff out. Here's how you build up the hype. And now your product is sold out. And Adidas doesn't really play in that same space in the same way, right? They're good at creating hype. They're good at getting the right people on board. And they also tend to have more shoes available than Nike does. So to me, that's a really interesting thing. They're both taking a different approach to it. And, you know, it could be good or bad, you know. But I do think that Beyonce is potentially the one person that I could see, you know, taking the women's business to next level, you know, types of like even just like I'm trying to think of the words, but just next level in general. You know, I just think that she has so much reach that, and like you said, Robbie, like the men's side of it too. Like there's potential appeal to, you know, the other side to kind of like connect the dots. And if she's able to keep her own Ivy Park line and somehow incorporate that, then her fan base is just going to be like, right. Like it's an easy move, right? They don't even need to know the difference between the brands. It's only the people that are paying attention to that are, you know, going to like shift gears to buy from another brand. But if they're still seeing Ivy Park on things, then they just feel like it's Beyonce. Yeah. It doesn't really matter who the partner is. But yeah, I mean, I think this is a total win for Adidas. You know, it is kind of crazy to think like Nike's still so far above them in the American market. But I think this is a strong move and a kind of bold step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think we should keep an eye like for the rest of the weekend. Since this is such a social media driven community and world, something's telling me that just if Adidas is smart, which they are, I mean, they clearly run a successful business. They've already have some marketing material ready. This announcement was made, so I'm assuming within the next week or two, we're going to start getting some promotional material with Beyonce in it. So I wouldn't be surprised if within the next 5 to 7 days, if that is the case, you will see that what they call Beyonce followers, the Beehive, them transitioning to their attention to those Adidas pages and seeing that fan base grow just, I don't know if you want to say organically, but wherever Beyonce goes, this group of people following. So I wouldn't be surprised if you just see an increase in just interactions and involvement in Adidas just through social media at this point.
Well, damn, it's organic if they're paying for it. But well, like,
I mean,
right. It's like, I'm sorry, Nick, but it's like info doesn't go out unless they want it out. Like stuff, big stuff like this, you know, there's so many rounds of mitigation and negotiation that this news drops when Adidas wants it to drop. So I think they very cleverly planted some seeds. And like Mike said, we'll see a little bit of an onslaught here coming up very soon.
Yeah, I think that it's really interesting, too, that they didn't – there was no, you know, there was no real, like, creative that went out with it. It was basically, like, an Adidas logo, a Beyonce logo, an Ivy Park logo, and let's just turn this into a, you know, rotating animated GIF. Which, yeah, you know, to Mike's point, as soon as they really push it out there and the fans start really – seeing it, because I didn't see Beyonce post anything about it, but I didn't look to, you know, like specifically at any other platforms besides Instagram. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see the next few weeks as it kind of like unveils more stuff. I'm sure they have some stuff planned.
Well, Adidas is just going to be like, well, you know what it is. Yeah, like
yeah.
Leave it.
Yeah.
So hey, it's gonna blow up, and it's gonna be interesting to see what the outcome is. It's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah. So, I guess moving on to the next thing we were gonna talk about is just the Final Four. I think one thing I wanted to kind of point out was that I found very interesting. Was that on, you know, like on the men's side of the Final Four, it's basically like, was it three schools that are Nike and then one that's Auburn is Under Armour?
Under Armour, yep.
And then, on the men's, it's two Under Armour, two Nike. On the women's Final Four, it's three Nike squads and then one Under Armour squad.
Who's Under Armour? I don't remember the women's side.
Isn't Baylor?
No, Baylor's Nike.
Oh, are they?
Oh, they used to be Nike. Yeah, unless they changed on me now. Hold on. It should be, it should be Nike still.
So who, so.
Jeopardy music plays as we look for a final.
Wait, so the Final Four is Notre Dame, Oregon, UConn, and Baylor.
Yeah.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is the Under Armour spot. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I was like, man.
Yeah. I got them mixed up. But UConn. It's just crazy to me that you know, no Adidas. You know, even it's interesting too. Like on the men's side. You know, I just think that, I don't know. I mean, I just associate Michigan State still with Reebok because of the questions, but that's obviously not fair.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, man. I'm just surprised to see only the two. You know, I mean, Nike dominates this space pretty well. I think that, I don't know. I think that if it was Adidas, it would be a bigger deal, and people don't necessarily think of Under Armour in that way. You know, it's the logos on the jerseys and stuff are there, but when you see Nike shoes, they stand out so much, and people are paying attention to it. And I think then there's more talk about the battle for, you know, college sports royalty or whatever, you know, branding.
Yeah.
But because it's Under Armour, there's not as much buzz around that whole conversation, which I just find interesting.
Yeah. As of last year, I don't see any 2019 stats, but a total breakdown by brand, of like reasonable brands throughout college is 52.8% is Nike, 30.2% is Adidas, and 17.1% is Under Armour. So I think it's definitely a coincidence that Under Armour happened to sneak in over an Adidas school. But I read a graphic about 2 years ago, and it just gave a visual representation of the tournament that year, the bracket, but by branding. And it's just like a stupid percentage for Nike. Like, I think it is. Like, a lot of the times, all four of them are Nike.
Yeah.
Or it's like, it's just like they own that space, like Nick was saying, with like an iron fist. Like college hoops drives sales. Those sales help prospective athletes choose what college they want to go to, because you can't pretend like somebody who's into sneakers isn't looking at Notre Dame like, they're Under Armour. I don't mess with Curry's.
Exactly.
But, you know, Michigan State over here, they got the crispy white and greens. I'm going to go over here. So it's just the domination is always kind of jarring, but it's nothing new at all.
Yeah. I just wish that, you know, when the finals come around, playoffs come around, and NBA, you always see like the coolest stuff come on the court when it comes to sneakers. I wish the Final Four, like those brands would reward the students with like a cooler shoe to put on during the tournament. I mean, and then release it to the public. That would be such an awesome thing, instead of having, you know, those, you know, oh, we'll release a, you know, here's a white and green Michigan State, or you can go ID it. No, give me something cool. Give me something like that screams championship on it. Makes me more interested, because a lot of us sneakerheads, 50% of the game is us watching what someone has on their feet when it comes to NBA. So why not do the same thing for college and just make an event of it?
I think it's just tough for them to, because you don't know who's going to actually make it. They just can't. I mean, at this point, you should be able to customize stuff with a quick turnaround time, low numbers, and do exactly that, or, you know, exactly what you're suggesting. But I think that's been the issue with, like, previously having, let's say Nike does have, you know, 35, 40 teams in the tournament. You know, that's a huge number of what ifs to be, you know, turning around product. And although they could do something, you know, they could totally do something cool right now with like Velcro patches and stuff like that, because that's what everybody's, you know, eating up on the customizing side. But it's just such a much bigger task to make sure that, like, let's say, I mean, this year is a great example, right? I think everybody would have had, not everybody, but a huge number of people would have had money on Duke being at least in the Final Four, right?
Oh, so, 99% of people did.
Yeah. So that would just be tough to get around, and I don't know how they would do it personally, but
we'll make like say the college students don't wear, they don't have their own signature shoes. They usually have a set shoes that they wear. Why not just make, hey, you don't have to be a school color, so you make it to the Final Four, we have these, everyone gets to wear this, like, this gold color shoe, or here's the color everyone's gonna wear for this. You know, it's something that you don't have to worry about customizing for a team, but you just have, hey, this is a certain amount of people on each team, we'll just, these are already produced, this, here we're gonna send you your sizes. You know,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, here's these straight up magenta and gold. Like, magenta isn't matching any school, but just like,
exactly,
it designates, and like it puts the moment in time, which is why the reason why so many sneakerheads buy a shoe. That's why I own like the Mamba Day and like the last, like the Kobe 9, his last game shoes. Oh, pardon me, when he broke into the top three at the time in scoring, I bought those shoes because we want something that like is a physical representation of that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they can very easily have a generic thing. But we're also kind of pretending like Nike doesn't know who the power schools are that they sponsor, and don't know that, you know, if you make a championship Duke shoe, there's, you know, a 90% chance they're going to have an opportunity to wear it. But if not, you put them things underneath, you know, underground, and you release them and you seed them out. And then you built hype, like all these would have been championship Dukes. And then there's all that hype over those, and those are now trending. So it's just an easy opportunity they don't appease us with.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they could also do something like specific to where the Final Four is at, even. You know, like, I don't know,
yeah.
pick something, you know, some inspiration from where the Final Four is at.
Like All-Star style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, Minneapolis, it snows there a lot. You could have, like, a snow theme, too. Yeah. I mean, like, this, wherever it is, like there's always like the more popular, like Arizona tends to have them. That's NFL. But like, yeah, Nick's totally right. You can make it like a location specific, and that still cements it as a time, you know, a specific time. And a kind of, honestly, they could put freaking anything out. And as long as they say, this has something to do with this, we're probably going to buy it.
Yep. You're probably right.
and the Final Four always has like a unique logo every year too. So there's colors to pull from that. You know, there's always the blue is typically incorporated for the NCAA logo, but
yeah,
you know, there's always to me, like, you know, they threw the trees in this year's logo, right? So it kind of has like an old school Timberwolves vibe to it anyway, which would be super dope to have those colors on a shoe, you know, a special shoe for the event.
If they can get NASA to give them the logo, they should be able to get the NCAA to let them borrow the logo.
You would think. I wonder if there's probably so much more money behind the NCAA logo's usage than there is the NASA logo's usage.
But they probably can't use it. They probably have to stay impartial because of all issues with the NCAA. They probably can't even be a part of any kind of product like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting, too, that they don't – I don't know if it's like this for all schools, but I was reading about Oregon doesn't sell the women's jerseys. And now that they're in the Final Four, I mean, I feel like that's something that they – like fans would probably like to buy the women's jerseys, right?
Yeah.
That's super interesting. I didn't think they would.
Yeah, and I'm not sure like if other schools do that or not. I mean, I'm assuming some schools, like, you have to be able to buy, you know, a UConn women's jersey, a Tennessee women's jersey, like, because those schools are just, I mean, almost
historic,
more known for their ingrained women's teams than they are their men's teams at this point.
Yep.
But like, that's a really interesting point about UConn, because they have to be selling those jerseys. There's no way they're not releasing a jersey with like Breonna Stewart's number on the back. There's like so much money there. But as a guy, like, I'm not going to buy a women's cut jersey. So are they putting those numbers on a men's jersey and then selling it? Or if they were to release an Oregon jersey, are they going to put it on a men's? Like, that's what I'm really interested in, because there's too many hardcore dudes out there who are like, no, man, I'm not rocking the women's, you know, like deep V, a deeper cut jersey. They're just cut different. It's just a fact. Yeah. So like, that's really, I never once thought about what they do with UConn and Tennessee.
Well, they can make a men's cut, because, so this is not basketball by any means, but when the women made the Olympics, the women's soccer team made the Olympics, they released their jersey in both a men's and women's cut. It's such a clean jersey. It's like, I don't care if this was the women's, they're doing better than the men. But yeah, they released it in the men's cut. Super dope. So, I mean, why? You can do the same thing with a basketball jersey. Put the men's cut, put the number, boom. Just a legend. UConn's a legendary team. Like, they're probably one of the most, if not the most winningest women's team.
No, they for sure are.
Basketball team ever. Yeah.
Like, I'd rock a Maya Moore jersey.
Yeah, definitely.
Just legends right there.
Yeah, so just, I looked real quick on the UConn website, and it doesn't look like they do any women's jerseys. You can get you can do like women's gear. You can customize it and put your name and number, you know, but it's on like a hoodie or a t-shirt or something like that. So, that's really interesting.
That's super surprising.
You know, nowadays, like, what last time UConn won was Ben Gordon, or like, did they? I don't think they even won with Ben Gordon. They got really far. I don't remember.
No, they did. 2004, I think they won with Ben Gordon.
They won.
Yeah.
But crap. Since then, the women have. I mean, it's a stupid number. I'm not going to try to like. I want to say it's in like the 10 range of championships since then, but like, that's super interesting that they don't do that at UConn.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had, so basically 2008 through 2019 in the Final Four. And 2009, 10, 13, 14, 15, 16, they won. It's crazy. It's just
so they haven't won since 16.
Yeah, they haven't won since 2016.
Yeah, that was when Notre Dame dethroned them, I think.
Man, that's the most impressive stat of it.
Yeah, yeah, like you just expect them to win every year at this point.
Right, man, that's
a ridiculous thing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to do some research. I'm super curious as to what's happened because I bet you they're still winning a million games. As we digress too far, but like that's gonna be a topic: the fall of UConn.
Baylor beat them this season, just if anybody wants to know that.
What? Dang. I mean, they're still undefeated. That's like super normal for them to go regular season undefeated.
They lost two or three games this year, weirdly enough.
Man, Gino, come on the show and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, yeah, Baylor's in the Final Four this year on the women's side. So, I mean... I guess not really a surprise. Shouldn't be as much of a surprise as it is to me.
Yeah. They had a cemented place there.
Right. I mean, like maybe kind of last thought. I heard somebody at Nike tell me that kids don't think LeBron's cool anymore. Because, think about it. LeBron's in his 16th season, wins all the time. Like, they want something new. Like De'Aaron Fox is like young, he's hip, you know, up and coming, like he's cooler. So like, I wonder if high elite level women basketball players are like, man, UConn just won too much. It's not cool. I'm going to go do my own thing. Cool X. So I'm going to do some investigative reporting on that. I'll come back.
Yeah. That is kind of interesting because you wonder if, you know, the women that are coming out of high school and going to play, if they're just like over the, you know, UConn winning and want to play for more of an underdog type team, even though, you know, they're not like true underdogs, but it could be.
Yeah. It's like, do you want to play underneath the shadow? Like be like the 14 millionth great player at UConn or be like the best player ever at Auburn? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yep.
It just depends on what you want there.
Yeah, right. Big fish, little pond, or little pond and big fish.
Yeah. So switching up, other topic we were gonna hit on tonight was the Jordan 14, Candy Cane, aka Rip Hamilton's, aka why do these sneakers need nicknames?
Four stories, man. You got to make them cool when it hits the shelf so they can sell out.
Clickbait.
Yeah. There you go. Clickbait.
But I mean, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say that the three of us and maybe, you know, the shout out to the 40,000 people that are following us on Instagram, those 40,000 people maybe would remember that Rip Hamilton wore a Jordan 14 at UConn. Everybody else that's going into the store to see these shoes is like 17, 18, 22. They probably don't even know who Rip Hamilton is.
That's no, not at this point. Like people are like, who, when?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I think they're going to sit on shelves, not because they're a bad shoe. I actually really like this shoe. It's in a flood of things right now. There's so many things coming out, not just Jordan brand, but these just aren't. They aren't it. Maybe I just said it without realizing they just aren't it. Maybe these are the last shots again. Maybe they'll sell out a little quicker, but I just don't see this one moving as many units, and I feel like it's going to be hitting sales racks with some of these other Jordans hanging around right now.
I mean, here's my crazy thought, and even with my crazy thought, they probably still sit in outlets. But like with the pennies, a couple of years ago, they did a two-pack. It was like that foamposite royal, like the royal foamposite, and then it was like what a penny posit. I think it was a penny posit.
Yeah, the Sharky pack.
Yeah, so like that would have been a lot more fitting type scenario for Rip because yeah, he wore the 14s one time, but yet we also think of him in like up tempos. So that would have been a lot more fitting to bear his name. If you had to use his name, but it's just really not a fit. and I brought this up at one point a couple episodes ago, like everybody of our 40,000 followers probably knows what the Rip Hamilton logo looks like from Jordan Brand. And the absence of that, it did it for me. Like if I had the Rip logo, I would have been more in for it. But it's just like the color doesn't associate with them. There's no branding. It's like you're throwing a name on it just to throw a name on it.
Yeah. I'm looking at the actual Rip PE from when he played with the Pistons, and it was blue.
Yeah.
Well, white with blue, with a red is blue accent. I mean, if they would have come out with a two-pack with that and even was this the Jordan 20, like PE, like there's a couple, like there's so many different options they could have gone with to make this more relevant. I mean, you have the 23 PE, you have the Jordan 8 PE was probably the coolest one in my opinion. But there's so many different options they could have done a two-pack with. It would have been $500, but it would have made more sense than just trying to release this back stock of candy canes you got sitting around.
Man,
and they could have done the 22. Yeah.
Like the 22, they did a thing with like, I want to say, I know it was Ray Allen. Rip was one of them where they put like, it says Rip City on it, and they put like Detroit hints on there. There's just like, it's a different story if you're trying to make like a Michael Petras release where there's only so many you could choose from. Like Rip has so many options. It's like, why don't you just go to any one of the 15 that makes sense? Like,
yeah. Heck, even the Jordan 2. I'll take the 2.
Yeah. Shout out to Michael Petras though, those old Warrior PEs.
Hey, those are pretty unique.
Dude, they're fire.
Yeah, I don't understand this release really at all. I mean, I feel like it just came out a few years back and it didn't sell well. I mean, it sold, you know, Nike made plenty of money off of it. Jordan made plenty of money off it because I'm sure, you know, there's plenty that sold at full retail. And obviously once it goes down, you know, I think Jordan's, for me, once they get into that like 100, 150 range, they become much more like tempting. In terms of just, okay, there's enough nostalgia here that maybe I do want this at this price point. I just
100% correct, sir.
I just don't want it at 225 or 200, like 190 and above. Like I don't, it's rare that I'm, you know, lured into it.
Yeah.
Lure like you're tricked. Come here, Nick. Here's some candy.
Yeah, exactly. Know. Exactly. Yep.
Don't do it, Nick. Don't do it.
But like, I was just looking at price points at LeBron's for something I'm working on, and the price point was like 150 for like the LeBron 7, and like the 150 kind of is the spot. I know like you can't, that's not maximizing profits, but like at that point, you bring in so many more faces, and it's just like $40. It's not that much money, but it's enough to where you look at it, and your brain clicks like, huh. That's like that's a couple lunches. That's a couple something price wise. So like I couldn't, Mike said he agrees. I couldn't agree more. Like once you hit a certain price point, it's like, sign me up. I've been saying for 2 months, once these hit 110, I'm going to buy them.
Exactly.
So it's like, time to pony up.
Yep. I mean, I'm pretty true to my word. When it hits below that 120 mark, I still see it sitting around. Like there's a pair of, Tinker Jordan sixes. They're sitting. They were like 190 when they came out, 150, 140. Now they're right around 119. I mean, if I come up with them in the next couple of weeks, I wouldn't be surprised because, like the opportunity is there, and it doesn't hurt the pocket as much. And I don't know.
Yep.
Well, and that's like a pure part of sneakers. Like you're legitimately entertained by them because of the shoe, and you're turned off by them because of the price tag. That's like consumerism and sneakers, like in a nutshell, right there. I love it, but my pockets mean more to me.
Yep. So I'm going to push that out, like to the listeners. What's the price point? Is it that gets you in the door for, let's say, Jordan retros? Is it 150? I think 150 for me is probably like when I start to really be thinking about it. And then if I'm in the 100 to 120 range, that's probably my sweet spot. I'm probably pulling the trigger on a lot of stuff at that point. What is that number for you guys?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so like shifting gears, like I wanted to get into kind of our sneakers of the week that we have been picking every show. But before we do that, I wanted to also shout out to, I might mess up his name terribly, but ML Paprazika, who left us a 5-star review on iTunes. So we appreciate that. And if you can leave us a review on iTunes, that would be super helpful. So if you're listening to the podcast and you appreciate what we're putting out, then go ahead and leave us a review. So, yeah, moving on to, sneaker of the week, since we're kind of running up against the clock here. What do you guys got going this week? Anything?
Man, right now I am loving this Kyrie 5, Mamba mentality with the chaos colorway. One of the things me and Robbie have in common is a love for Kobe Bryant, and I can never pass up a good Kobe or Kobe inspired shoes executed the right way. They're the right colors, look like the right textures. Man, even has, if you look hard enough at it, there's like some almost snake print inside the mesh on the white upper of the Kyrie. So I don't know. That's my pick of the week.
Solid choice.
Yeah, I like
it. You'll probably hear me say a lot of weird terms throughout these episodes, but one of my favorite ones I use is a vengeance buy. Like, I'm vengeful. I'm going to buy the shoe out of, like, angst. And the LeBron 3 retro coming out on the 11th, it's the, you know, classic white, black, well, I guess black, white, and red. If anybody wants to send me a pair of those, I'm not thirsty. I'm just frustrated I can't buy a pair on my own. Like, I would happily pay for them, but like, that's a total vengeance buy. I've wanted that shoe for, you know, almost 15 years, like that exact colorway. So anybody has a plug, I'll pay you. I need that shoe.
Oh man. So for me, I think it's the Night Joggers, that like most recent colorway that I've seen was like kind of white, gray, couple shades of gray. And I mean, it's not a night, it's not an Adidas color, but yeah, it's like that orangish infrared kind of color.
Such a clean shoe.
Yeah. At first when it came out, I wasn't as into it. But it's definitely grown on me like crazy. The more I see them now, the more I'm just like, yeah, I could probably live with these in my closet.
Yeah,
you're very right. That was my second choice, right up there.
All right, cool. Well, is there anything else from you guys that we need to get out there to the world?
Nike, if you need three moderately influential podcasters that you like to sponsor, we're here.
Right. My big one is, everybody, here's a major key. Eat guacamole with Doritos.
I can co-sign that. Yeah, it's definitely it's definitely worth the investment. All right, well,
man, I was broke.
What's up?
No, I was gonna buy tortilla chips. They're $5, but Doritos were on sale for $3. Like,
you made the right choice, sir.
Mix
you
this
made
up. The right that price point.
Yeah, see, that's what it's all about. You know, once those regular chips hit that, like, you know, $1.50, $1.89 mark, then, you know.
I'm just frugal, guys. It's all this. It's fine.
Cheese.
Except for, like, I'm definitely one of those people that fits the yeah, extra guac costs more meme. Like, that's absolutely me. Just, like, no reservation. Just go for it.
Nice.
Put it on. Okay. With that creepy note, yep. Hope everybody has a great night, and thank you for listening. Continue to like, subscribe, and follow the site.
Yep, most definitely.
Appreciate all you guys listening.
Yeah, you can Well, I guess why don't you guys tell them where they can find you guys personally out there?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Sneaker History, of course. Find me on Instagram or Twitter under MadWatcher789. Guys, let us know what you like about the show, anything we can change. We just appreciate you guys listening. Robbie, where can they find you, man?
Lurking in the corner with a bag of Doritos.
And guac.
No, you can find me on all the major platforms at Robbie702.
Cool, cool. And you can find me at Nick Engvall on all platforms. And as we said, thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Peace, everybody.
Goodbye.
Hey, what up, guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I just want to let you know a couple things we're working on here at Sneaker History. We're about to start a weekly newsletter to share some of the things that we find from around the web that's interesting, entertaining, newsworthy stuff. And instead of putting it all on social, maybe it's not worth posting on the blog, but we wanted it to just be on your radar. So it's kind of like a compilation of our favorite things from the week. And we'll be sending that out on Sundays just to make sure that you have the news from the previous week and maybe some news about the upcoming week in terms of releases, you know, changes in release dates, etc. You can sign up for that now at sneakerhistory.com. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some Sneaker History merchandise. So far, we've got some tees, stickers, coffee mugs, and some other goods in the works. And the money we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast. You can find that on the top right menu of our website. If you do cop some merch, be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.